This is a bonus episode of Locked On Warriors. I'm Wes Goldberg, Warriors beat writer for the Mercury News. If you like the podcast, make sure to hit that subscribe and follow button to get the latest on the Warriors every day. If you really like the podcast, leave a review or tell a friend. This was recorded live on the Locker Room app before the game between the Portland Trailblazers and Warriors on Wednesday night. Hope you enjoy.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Ryan.
What's up, Wes? I don't really have a question about this game, but I just have a question about something that just happened in the Warriors. I don't know if you saw the story, but the Warriors were trying to sell a minority stake of the team. What do you think that means anything, or...
Yeah, you're seeing a couple of teams do this across the NBA, and it's very much related to the pandemic and some of the losses there. It's just a way for Joe Lacob and the rest of this majority ownership group to sort of spread out the costs, right? Because, you know, if you and I bought an NBA team, let's call it for $100, we would be splitting the cost $50 in a normal and in some sort of 50-50 arrangement. Well, if we brought in a third person and had that minority owner come in for $10, then it would save us each $5. So I think that's really what you're talking about. And there seems to be a little bit of a market here because getting into NBA ownership is just so difficult that I think that this is just an opportunity for some big money players who have not been in the NBA, but maybe have been trying to get into the NBA to finally get in, because Joe Lacob started as a minority owner with the Boston Celtics. Right. And it's through a few years of being a minority owner that, you know, you rub elbows with the NBA league office and stuff. And then when maybe there's an opportunity to buy a team, then maybe you're on that short list.
So it's just right. Trying to save money and cut costs.
Just a way to cut costs, not really cut costs. I suppose you could view it that way, but really just sort of share the costs with other, you know, big money makers. Jack, what do you think?
All right, thanks.
Yeah, so going off of that, I think that was a great question, Ryan, and also a great response, Wes. But I'm just slightly concerned about next season going into like the financial aspects of it, because I know that already this year due to the pandemic, they had to let go of a lot of workers at Chase Center. And are you at all worried about I know they keep saying like, oh, we don't mind spending the money, but having essentially three max contracts with Wiggins, with whatever output that he's giving, and Draymond's contract as well, do you worry like next season, like, because I read online a lot of people think, okay, they're probably going to look to make one big move to try to move things, like to get a player that who's worth that money, for example. Like I've been hearing a lot about either Draymond or Wiggins, one of them expects to be moved like next season. Like that's a talk, at least among ourselves, to save them some costs. But just wanted to know your thoughts on that matter, just about their payroll going into next season, and if you think they're going to start making some difficult decisions.
I think the person most affected by this would be Kelly Oubre, or whoever it is that ends up taking up that salary slot, because going into this season, the Warriors weren't going to use the trade exception, but they were going to just let that kind of expire. But when Klay Thompson got hurt, they decided to go ahead and use it to fill that position. But I do wonder, with the cost of the pandemic, and like you said, they've had to lay off some employees. They have not gotten fans in the arena as quickly as they'd like to do. And I spoke with Joe Lacob right after the draft, or right before the draft. I'm sorry, right before the draft, about this. And he was optimistic even back then. I mean, we're talking about, late October, early November. He was optimistic about getting like 50% capacity at Chase Center, and so far it's been 0% capacity, and they've submitted that plan to the city a few different times now, and it's been rejected. And so obviously he's trying to get some sort of injection of cash as soon as possible. I don't know that ultimately that's going to play a role in how the roster is constructed in a major way. I think if anything, it would maybe affect some of those other fringe moves that a team makes over across the season. Like Would you waive Alan Smilagic, for example, now, understanding that you have to pay out the rest of his contract, and then when you add another player, that's another, you know, $1.5 million, $2 million salary plus all the luxury tax implications.
Right.
In a normal year, you might be willing to just eat that cost, right? And maybe this year, mm-hmm. you're not so willing to do that if it's just for the 15th guy in the roster, who's probably not going to play a whole lot anyway. So I think that's where you're seeing it. He's not going to offload Draymond Green or Klay Thompson or try to do anything like that. I think still you're going to have the integrity of this roster intact. And there's an understanding. Joe Lacob, we joke light years ahead all the time, but, you know, whatever. He's a forward-looking guy. I truly believe that. And so the best way to make your money back long-term is to put the best product on the floor as possible and get back to the finals. And I think he believes that too.
Right. And, you know, going off of that, there is one question that I've been meaning to ask you, actually, because yeah. I follow all of your Locked On podcasts. And, you know, the thing is, like, they are thinking about getting back to the finals, right? So in that regard, do you think there's much sense in them trying to, you know, develop Wiseman right now? Like, we see where he's at right now in terms of offensively, defensively speaking. And, you know, when we think that he's going to reach his potential, maybe three years down the road, right? And there's a lot of talk online, mixed talk with fans saying, oh, we should draft Snuggs next year. We'll be okay. And, you know, Clay's going to come back. We're just going to go to the finals and everything's going to be okay. And I'm just thinking, like, I never really liked the Wiseman move to begin with, just because I knew that centers take a long time to develop and that's not the kind of time that we had with Steph's timeline. And now, especially with Steph playing the way he is, right? I wanted to know your take on that. Do you think, like, if a move does become available, right, where they would need to give up Wiseman and the Minnesota pick and future picks, right, for that right person, whoever that may be, because we don't have the luxury of a deep bench anymore. That's why I think we really need that offensive firepower that I don't think Wiggins is enough to provide, especially considering mm-hmm. what Draymond doesn't provide to us. So just wanted to know your take on that. And do you think, is the front office thinking that way, thinking it might be worth it to give up Wiseman and the pick if the right player would come up?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's sort of related to something. I'm working on a column right now that should come out Friday. About and this is part of it, is some of the big questions that they're going to need to answer over the second half of the season. And part of that is going to be not only James Wiseman's development, because we understand how important that is, right? If he looks like a difference maker in the second half of the season, who can be your starting center, not only long term, but immediately, and help you in a playoff game, help you in a series, help you, you know, next regular season, get one of the top seeds in the West, then you're good, right? But if he doesn't look like that, then you have to look at what you're going to do with this Minnesota pick, because there's a 60% chance right now that it ends up at number 4 or 5, and you can get a good play. I think that's right in that range where you can get, you know, Jalen Suggs out of Gonzaga, who looks like among these top rookies this year, the guy who can make the most immediate impact, right? Like the Tyrese Haliburton of this draft, but better. And so if you're the Warriors, right, depending on what it is that Wiseman looks like in the second half, if he doesn't look like a player who can contribute immediately, then you might also be wondering, hey, do we need to use that? Do we want to be using that Minnesota pick on another rookie who may or may not be able to contribute? I don't know what they think about Jalen Suggs or whatever, but chances are, you know, young players, rookies, they don't contribute meaningful minutes and winning basketball right away. And so do you want, instead of one of those guys, now two of those guys on your roster next year when you want to actually go win a championship? I would say that if Wiseman doesn't look the part in the second half of the season, that there's maybe a better chance of them trading that Minnesota pick, right? And mm-hmm. But if he looks like the guy who can contribute right away, then you're not as concerned about trying to bring along another guy next year, and maybe you can take another big swing. And so I don't think whether or not you trade that pick or not, or if you even trade Wiseman or not, comes down to specifically his performance, but it will factor in to their decision-making process when it comes to all those things. The other thing, too, is in regards to trading Wiseman and the pick together for a player, it would obviously have to be for the right player, right? I don't even know if Bradley Beal is the kind of guy that gets it done. I would think that if push comes to shove, they would probably do it. I'm not 100% sure on that, but I you would think that they would almost have to do it. And if, especially mm-hmm. if kind of Steph Curry and Draymond Green get wind that, hey, that guy can come here, let's just go do that. But, you know, I don't know that a roster with Steph and Klay Thompson, depending on what it is that he looks like, plus Bradley Beal, plus Draymond Green being a year older, plus whatever you do at center, would be enough to get to the finals over teams like the Lakers, the Clippers, and the Jazz, and Denver even. So I don't know who that right player would be. Maybe it's Bradley Beal. Maybe it's somebody else that shakes loose. But I think all of the options are on the table, and certainly I would if I were a betting man, I would bet on the fact that you probably don't end up with two top picks two straight years playing for this Warriors team. That would be my bet right now, but I couldn't.
Right. And that's my biggest worry for next season. I'm just thinking about our roster next season. Say, like, let's be conservative about it and say, okay, we have Steph, Klay, Draymond, Wiggins, Wiseman, okay, and Oubre off the bench. Because I read today in an article that Myers thinks Oubre is a good long-term fit, which I would agree. But, you know, say that is our starting lineup. You know, you being obviously very knowledgeable about the Warriors and, you know, other teams as well, I personally would rank them probably in the same tier as the Clippers, but a half a step lower than the Lakers and the Nets, definitely, in my opinion. And even that, I'm a bit uncertain, because with Wiseman, I just think he's so far off. And, you know, that's my biggest concern. I'm just thinking to myself, like, can they really afford to be more casual about this with Steph turning 34 next year? We can already assume that we're not going to be going that far this year in the playoffs. Can we really afford that? Like, Steph is 34 next year. Like, don't you want to get him the help? Like, what are you doing trying to develop a center and Wiseman and getting another, you know, say even if they don't next year, right? It just seems like, come on, don't you want to give him like a good chance to take on the Lakers and the Nets? Like, why are you wasting this guy's time frame like that? You know, just what's your take on that?
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think it's kind of ridiculous that they're doing they're wasting their time the way that they are right now. Wasting Steph's time in particular, because you have to assume you'll never have a player as good as Steph Curry ever again. I'm not sure that that's the case, but you have to assume that that's the case. And when you have an opportunity, when you have a guy who can win an NBA Finals, who can lead you to a finals and win a finals for you, which Steph has done, even before Kevin Durant, we know this, then you have to do whatever, even if you have a 10% chance, this is Daryl Morey saying, right? Even if you have a 10% chance of winning the championship, you have to put all of your chips in. You have to go all in. And I believe that. And the Warriors have this obsession with being the next San Antonio Spurs and being really great for, you know, two decades. But unless James Wiseman becomes a Kawhi Leonard level player, when we're talking about, you know, at his peak, a top two or three player in the NBA, I don't really see how that works for the Warriors, especially given that Wiseman is probably, I don't know, 5-6 years away from his prime.
I would agree.
And that point, you know, what's Steph Curry at that point? We don't know. And we don't know what Klay Thompson looks like and all these things. And Draymond Green is he's been playing well, but he's clearly showing his age, and that's only going to last so long. I think the Warriors, you have to look. You have to see what Klay looks like next year. No matter what, there's no trade out there right now, right? So that's what we're really talking about. Bradley Beal is not available. All signs point to him trying to make it work in Washington. Him being a trade eligible is more of a Twitter thing than a real thing right now. But so this whole conversation really is you got to put a pin in the entire thing. But by the summer, right, if James Wiseman, like I said, doesn't take that next step in his development in the second half of the season, when Klay Thompson gets back next year and he doesn't, I think you need him to be 90% of what he was in 2019. Anything less than that, you have some real concerns, especially on the defensive end. You know, I don't know that you're going to, you know, I know Bob Myers is saying they want to bring Kelly Oubre back. I'll believe it when I see it, right? Of course, and that might be him, by the way, posturing in front of Joe Lacob, right? Saying, hey, let's spend the money on this guy. You know, the Warriors front office, they have a lot of arguments. And so I do think that when you see what Klay looks like, and they'll have an opportunity, you know, to get a better sense before even the regular season starts. I think they should have a sense by the time the draft comes around. Then that's when you start to have these types of conversations. But look, the NBA is the Clippers never imagined trading all of those picks for Paul George to get Kawhi Leonard. You know, they didn't imagine having to trade Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who they loved, to get Paul George, right? But right. when the opportunity presented itself, one, you know, a late night in Las Vegas in Summer League, then you did it, right? You pull the trigger. And I think that could be what it's not as so planned out as I think a lot of people think it is. It's just, hey, this guy came available. All right, let's make it happen. And so, right. and what does it take? And if it takes Wiseman in this Minnesota pick, then so be it, if the player is worth it. But overall, your sentiment, and I think you've heard me talk about this, you know, on the Locked On Warriors podcast, mm-hmm. but I'm with you, man. I don't know that you can take this for granted. I don't know that you want to be this. If you really want to be Spurs 2.0, then I think what you're really talking about is just being, you know, a 4 or 5 seed every year for 15 more years, where I think mm-hmm. any real fan, I think, would just say, screw the year 2028. I don't care about that.
Exactly.
Let's go win a championship right now. Let's go maximize Steph Curry's prime right now. And I think they can do it. I really do. And the league is an interesting place right now. We don't know if Giannis is the type of player that can win a championship. LeBron James, I know he's playing at an MVP level, but he's 36 years old. I mean, I don't really know what to make of the Clippers even. Brooklyn is obviously very strong, but that I'm watching them now. It always seems like they're just up by 7 to 10 points because their defense can't stop anybody. I think there's a window open in this next couple of years where the Warriors could really take advantage. 100%. Roger, what do you think? Yeah. Oh, Roger's gone. Ryan, what do you think?
I agree with you 100 million bazillion percent. The Warriors they have a window. Let's be honest. They've done it before. They could do it again. They just need the right pieces. They need their next Andre Iguodala. They need their Livingston. They need their whatever. I'm not saying that to be exact same play style, but they need a couple of pieces here and there. I don't know. They might need a star trade. That's still TBD for me, but there's definitely a window there. The window is not closed.
Right. And I don't think that this Minnesota pick, you know, you don't trade that for Marcus Smart. And I throw his name around because Warriors fans wanted Marcus Smart for this number two pick. Give me James Wiseman over Marcus Smart any day of the week right now and his potential and upside. I don't know who the player is. Atlee, do you know who the player is?
If I knew, I would have suggested it. I wish I knew, but I know what I dream about at night, what to happen, and it doesn't seem real.
Best case scenario, Karl-Anthony Towns, if you ask out.
Karl-Anthony Towns is interesting.
But best case scenario,
you trade Minnesota their pick back?
Yeah.
I mean,
who wants to rebuild without their own pick, you know? Like, who wants to tank without their own pick?
I mean, that or like Kawhi Leonard, or if he decides to leave, if they flame out in the playoffs, a lot of people are putting this off. But I think I'm not going to say there's like a 50%. I'm not even going to say there's like a 40% chance. But there is a chance that Kawhi would want to leave if they flame out again in the second round, you know. Then what happens? Like, and if Kawhi were to leave, right? Say even if like Warriors don't sign and trade for him or whatever to make that work. Do you think the Clippers would want to hold on to Paul George? Like, and his contract after everything they gave up to get Kawhi, because they're not competing at that point. And what team is better capable of giving up their picks and their Minnesota pick and Wiseman immediately? And Wiggins included, for example, of course, right? For Paul George. And see, those are the two moves that I think would be amazing for us if it were possible. But
well, first of all, if the Warriors traded for Kawhi Leonard, I think I would quit my job because I really have no interest in covering him. But I do think the Warriors in this trade package that we're talking about, right? The big trade package is James Wiseman, Minnesota pick plus whatever salary, if it has to be, you know, the Oubre salary cap slot or the Wiggins or whatever it is. But it's mostly Wiseman and the number two pick. That is a really tough package to beat if you're trading it to a rebuilding team. Let's take Washington, for example, right? They've already got Danny Advia. They've got, you know, Rui Hachimura. They've got guys that they like. And then you add not only Wiseman, but another top five pick, let's call it, whatever, wherever it lands, top lottery pick. That now you have the ability to basically assemble your own, you know, big three of the future, your own core three of the future. With your existing rookie, who you already have, considering that you're probably a bad team, Wiseman, plus this pick in this great 2021 draft class. That's a really enticing package. But it's only enticing between now and the draft in October or whenever we end up holding it. So there's a shelf life to this package. And once you use that pick, and it's not nearly as valuable as it once was. And even if you say that this 20, even if the pick falls into the top three and it becomes unprotected in 2022, you want to move that pick ASAP, because if Minnesota comes out with Karl-Anthony Towns healthy and out of this, you know, season of hell for him and his personal life, he's going to be better next year. That's guaranteed. And so D'Angelo Russell will be healthier presumably next year. Anthony Edwards will be another year into his development. I mean, do you want to risk Minnesota coming out and winning, you know, 10 of their first 19 games or something? And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, man, that unprotected 2022 pick doesn't look so great anymore. And then it loses its value at that point as well. So if you want to make this move, I've said before, you kind of have to see who it is that becomes available. You better hope that if you're the Warriors and you want to ultimately trade that package of assets, that somebody shakes loose between now and October. Because if they don't, I think you end up in a situation like the Boston Celtics were in, where you're just sort of like, oh, I guess these are our picks and these are our assets. We wanted Anthony Davis. Darn, we didn't get him. We wanted Paul George. Darn, we didn't get him. And we ended up with, you know, Al Horford and Kemba Walker, and now Al Horford's gone and Kemba Walker's injured. And, you know, what? And you can see what the Celtics are doing now, where you have this talent drain across the rest of the roster. So that is a possible outcome
that's
for
scary.
The Warriors,
and that's
right?
a real possibility. Yeah,
it is. So you have to, I think, identify the player you want and go get him. And maybe it's, you know, maybe you got to get up to some chicanery, some behind the scenes wooing and dealing, some, hey, maybe you're not so happy here. You know, like what Brooklyn did with James Harden.
The tampering.
Man. Like maybe, what Miami did with Jimmy Butler. Like, it might take Draymond Green sending some text messages and be like, dude, make an ass out of yourself, force your way out of your spot, come to San Francisco.
Right, right.
Yeah. When I mean, Wes, can I ask you a question? Oh, my bad. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was just going to ask Wes, when do you think Wiseman gets his starting spot back?
I don't know, man. I've been thinking about that. And I think Steve Kerr wants James Wiseman to start, because Steve, weirdly enough, for a head coach, has a really long-term view. And he wants to be back to the finals next year. And he's realistic that, you know, after last year's 15-win season and this year, he is so freaking competitive that he's willing to just delay gratification until next season. But I also think that you can't rush him into it in the name of development, right? I think that there's something to say of, hey, just learn to play NBA basketball on the bench before we figure out, you know, how it is that you're going to play next to Steph and Draymond. You know, just baby steps. And so I think he'll be the starter by the end of the year. But then if they make the playoffs, I think Kevon Looney is back in that starting lineup. So that's what kind of weirds me out. I don't think Kevon would be bothered by it if you start James Wiseman for a few games in like the dog days of the season in April or something. I don't think it would be that – I don't think it would have that drastic ramifications on Kevon Looney. But once the playoffs start, I have a hard time imagining that it's anybody other than Looney starting at center.
Especially with what Looney's done previous playoffs.
He's been awesome. Against,
right.
Yeah,
2019, exactly. He was amazing for us against the Rockets, for example.
He's been great this season. I mean, there's several games where he's got three or four assists in the game. We don't talk about Kevon Looney enough. He's been really good coming off of last year's, you know, season from hell for him with all those injuries. I mean, he's been really, really strong for them.
For sure. And my last question is, how many pieces on this bench currently would you be confident if they came back next year? Like, I'm pretty sure you're going to agree on Kepes more. But besides that, everyone else is kind of iffy. You know what I mean? Like, who are you confident in returning next year? And you'll be like, okay, that's good. We need this guy back.
I think Damian Lee has a good spot coming back. Bazemore, too. I just think when you're talking about the bench and the guys who are free agents – you want guys who, if you're Steve Kerr, you trust putting out there in a playoff series. And I think Bazemore and Damian Lee, like, they're not spectacular, but you know that they're just not going to make dumb mistakes either, which is really what sinks you in the postseason. So I think those two guys, I think Wanamaker's probably gone unless he, you know, absolutely crushes it in the second half of the season. Michael Mulder is a free agent. I could see them bringing him back just because he's going to be so cheap, because he's just got, you know, it's going to be his third year of NBA service, and that's a relatively cheap contract. Maybe you bring him back, and also for his three-point shooting. But that we're talking about at that point, like a 14th or 15th guy who probably doesn't see much time in the playoffs. I'm not so confident about Kelly Oubre coming back, despite, you know, some of this, you know, positioning lately. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to think of who else is a free agent off the top of my head. I know I'm forgetting people, but those would be, I think that the Warriors realistically could return 11 or 12 guys. And so you're looking at three or four open spots.
And what is your opinion on Andrew Wiggins? Because, look, he's an amazing guy. Love what he's doing defensively. But in the starting lineup, don't you agree that the hole that Draymond leaves offensively? I mean, I know that we can all say, oh, we can expect more from him next year. But I think that boat kind of sailed, honestly. Do you think, you know, with the price point that he's at, and obviously keeping in mind that any move where we move him, it's probably going to be with the Minnesota pick and, you know, future picks included. Do you think, like, he does enough offensively next year with Clay back to overcome what Draymond doesn't do? And especially against teams like the Lakers, right, for example. Do you have any concerns about that with how sort of complacent Andrew can be and his shooting? You know, he started off amazing, but he's kind of – regressing back down in his career average numbers, which aren't wonderful. Do you think that that's it can be a valid concern about having both Wiggins and Wiseman on the floor next season?
I'm less concerned. I've heard the concern from Warriors fans. I think when you're talking about guys who are going to replace Draymond or, you know, make up for Draymond's shortcomings on offense, I think it just is Klay Thompson coming back with the efficiency, with the shooting specifically. That to me is going to be the biggest swing factor for them, because when it's going to have compounding effects on the rest of the offense when you have not one but two all-time great three-point shooters spacing the floor. And I really like what it is that he's given the Warriors from an efficiency standpoint. I think there's ways to get him closer to 22, 23, 24 points per game. If you have him running the second unit offense, specifically just high pick and roll, maybe it's with James Wiseman. It's something that I want to see tonight against Portland, that second unit. You know, if Steph's not on the floor, there's not really a point in running, you know, Steve's motion heavy offense. It doesn't work without Steph. It's built around Steph. It doesn't work when he's not on the floor. So just run that, just get Wiggins downhill, let Wiseman pick and roll or pick and pop, and then just have that be your offense. I think with Wiggins, you could see him basically run second units even next season because he has experience running offense in Minnesota. So, and remember, he's
25. Do you have concerns, though, how he's running the second unit this season?
I don't really, because they haven't. I would like to see him actually. I'd like to see Kerr put the ball in his hands more and less in Wanamaker's hands. So he's just, if he's going to be an efficient guy, then I have less concerns, and he has been efficient. And defensively, he's given you so much. And I think that's going to be important for them, too. The other thing, too, is if you're trying to trade Wiggins, look, if you need to package the second or the Minnesota pick and him to go get a superstar player, you do it. I have no issue with that. But I'm also not trading him for something worse, right? Because he's making $28 million. He's not worth that amount of money, and every team in the league knows that. So you're kind of stuck with him for better or worse. But Wiggins is an interesting place too, because if he can make a leap, he's really the guy who can make a dramatic difference to this Warriors championship window. I think we talk about Wiseman in that regard all the time. But Wiggins, 25 years old, 26, 27 is when you start hitting your prime. He's right there. And so if he can take some sort of dramatic leap, that would be a huge development for the Warriors. And I think it's worth seeing how it plays out, just because, like I said, there's not really a better alternative at this point.
Exactly. You're not trading Wiggins for like a Robert Covington or something like that. Like,
no, God, no.
Yeah. And what do you think that leap is? Is it just his handle getting tighter, his jumper, like being more consistent? Like, what do you think that is?
I think it's just getting, striking that balance between finding his own shot, getting his own shot, looking for his own shot, and then playing off of guys like Steph and then ultimately Clay. It's always been with Wiggins just a mindset thing. And I know we harp on that all the time, and Minnesota fans harped on that all the time. But if he could just have – to me, the difference is, you know, it's really 3 or 4 minutes in the game that we're talking about, where in those 3 or 4 minutes, he just takes over. And we saw that specifically in January, less in February, where there'd be fourth quarters or second quarters where he would just come out on fire and he would score, you know, 6-8 points in a 3 or 4 minute span. And you're like, man, who is this guy? And Minnesota fans were just going crazy, you know, rolling over in their graves over it. That to me is the difference. It's just 3 or 4 minutes a game. And we're not talking. And so often guys are as talented as Wiggins is, and there's no doubt, you know, nobody's debating that he's not talented. And now that the efficiency numbers are where they're at, and because he hasn't been asked to do so much all the time, and now that the defense is where it is, it's not dramatic differences that we're talking about when we talk about these players. It really is just, can you do it every night or most nights, and can you do it for another 2, 3, 4 minutes per game? And with Wiggins, if the Warriors keep empowering him and putting him in positions to succeed, I think more times than not, he could be that for them. But I remain bullish on Wiggins. I really, and I admit I'm a little biased because I still just believe in his skill set so much. I will admit that.
No, I agree. I agree.
Hey, Wes, I got a question about if you've heard anything in terms of, I'm in LA, so pardon me if things are a little bit different, but Governor Newsom said that by opening day in baseball, we could expect some fans, limited capacity at Dodger Stadium. Has there been any traction for Chase Center allowing fans, or is that still kind of up in the air?
They remain optimistic, I should say. I don't even know if optimistic is the right word. They keep pushing the city of San Francisco to let that. And the thing is with San Francisco, they've been so strict with all of this stuff for so long that, and they've denied, you know, Joe Lacob and the Warriors their plan a couple of different times now. So they remain, you know, pushy, I guess. I think we'll see fans by the end of the regular season in a limited capacity, obviously, but a very, very limited capacity. But I do think at some point we'll see fans in small amounts at Chase Center. I just don't know if it'll be really enough to make any sort of even noticeable difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wes, the Warriors have two very interesting contract situations and Kevon Looney and Juan Toscano-Anderson. Yeah. Kevon Looney obviously has the player option. Juan Toscano-Anderson's on a two-way, so they don't even have his bird rights. What do you think happens with those guys?
I think Looney stays because Steve Kerr will burn the place down if he doesn't. And then I think Juan Toscano-Anderson ends up on the 15-man roster before the end of the year, probably, despite, you know, this two-way contract stuff being lifted. I don't know. I think that there's still a want to bring him up to the 15-man roster in order to do exactly what you just said. Bring him on. Maybe it's a one-year or maybe it's a one-year deal and you get his bird rights. Or maybe it's a two-year deal with a light guarantee, partial guarantee next year. But I think Juan Toscano-Anderson understands that he's put himself in position, right? If he doesn't go back to Golden State, somebody's going to sign him. He's been impressive, so I think the Warriors are going to understand that and try to bring him up onto the roster before the end of the year. Yeah, Sean, you've been trying to ask a question.
What's going on, Wes? My name's Sean Coleman. I don't think we met. I host Locked On Grizzlies. It's a pleasure to meet you.
Sean, awesome. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, I wanted to ask real quickly because I do think that there are some Grizzlies fans who do keep up with the show, or excuse me, some Tigers fans who do keep up with the show due to James Wiseman. Mm. And it is a pleasure to meet you. Just want to ask, you know, we're probably going to be paying closer attention because y'all got two big games against us in that start of the second half. But just how critical is Wiseman hopefully taking on a bigger role with y'all in the second half? And how critical do you think that will be to the Warriors hopefully locking down a playoff spot, you know, come the rest?
I think it's going to be tremendously important in the long-term plans for the Warriors. I don't know how important it's going to be in regards to just making the playoffs this year because Kevon Looney's been, you know, really good for them. Wiseman, what he brings them coming off of the bench has basically just been sheer production, right? I mean, he's the other night he had 16 points in 19 minutes or something like that. I mean, that is a skill, and I don't think it's one that Warriors fans really appreciate enough because they tend to just keep comparing him to LaMelo Ball for some reason. But, he's productive, and that really matters this season when really the only offensive production you're able to count on is Steph Curry night to night. But his development is, you know, if it's not the number one storyline, it's 1B for the Warriors in the second half of the season because he's the guy who, if he looks like a player in the second half, and you think he can contribute next season when you're trying to make a title run, then you're good. You know, everything's kosher. If not, then you have to really consider how to get the most out of Steph Curry's remaining, you know, prime years. And if you have to make some sort of move, you know, trade wise, Wiseman's probably in the middle of that.
I think from an outsider's point of view, I think that's it completely. Love your work, man. Look forward to speaking with you more in the future soon. Good luck to y'all, but not too much luck with the Grizzlies right behind.
I'm jealous of you being able to watch John Morant every night.
Hey, awesome. If he comes anything close to the impact that Steph Curry has been, we'll consider ourselves lucky. Have a great one, Wes.
There you go. You too, Sean. All right, guys, we are going to shut this down so I can get ready for the game tonight. Jack, Ryan, Adel, thanks all for jumping on, talking with me. It's been good.
Thanks,
Wes. Thanks, Wes. Take care, guys.